They got shit at Sam's and Scott. That's nice.
Yeah, I know. Hey, are we on?
We on there already?
Yeah, I think we're on already.
I didn't even know you pressed the button.
Well, yeah. It's almost 3 o'clock. It's only a few minutes still, and we had a few people waiting, so might as well. Like I said, I'm sorry it's lagging again. I actually bought a, what do you call it? An Ethernet cable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be here in a few days. And we were just talking about maybe buying a new
laptop
that's just for streaming. Because this one that we're streaming on, it's a Mac and I love it, but it's really old.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's an issue with the graphics card, because we were live streaming for a long time and it was fine. And then all of a sudden, just one day, it started lagging. And now it's it does it every time. And it's kind of driving me bananas.
She uses the Mac really for just graphic design work.
Yeah, because I have all the programs.
Right. And then we have a PC over here that we use for other stuff.
That I use for other things.
Data spacing and stuff.
And video editing.
But we could just get a fucking Microsoft laptop for $300. That's good enough.
That's just for that. I mean, yeah. So because since we're going to be doing it so often now.
Yeah. And then she can dedicate this one just for lives, just for graphic design. And
this one for video editing. And then we'll have one for live stream. I'll just have five computers.
Right. Well, I think that's kind of normal now.
It is. I actually have an even older Mac laptop over there that still, I kept it because it has some old backup shit and it has all my music on it. Still,
yeah,
my phone, so I just kind of have it tucked over there.
Yeah, everybody's here.
Hey, you guys,
Deborah, Mango Badger, Tammy, Joy, Alex, Oracle Mom, Pat Hetfield's in, Saul Hernandez, Joy.
Most of you guys were here with us last night as we drunkenly.
Yeah.
Went on into the night.
There's 12 of them on there now. Yeah, we're going to fucking review this documentary. JoJo has always said that this documentary is fucking long. It was long.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Well, okay, now our history with this. Now, this is not the one, because we love Oliver Harper.
Yeah.
Okay, retrospective, Oliver Harper. Go check him out. He does really intricate retrospectives of movies, usually movies from the 80s.
Usually real high quality.
And I mean, and I love that he talks about every aspect of it. He talks about the score. He talks about any video game tie-ins. He talks about the special effects. He talks about everything. It's really, really well done. So I think it was his production company that did a documentary about 80s action movies, which was called In Search of the Last Action Hero or something right? Did we see that?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Okay, so we didn't see that. So then we heard that there was another one coming out that was all about 80s horror. And I was like, oh, I'm so there for that. Now, I don't think Oliver didn't direct this one, but I think it's still his production company, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think it's I think the guy's name is David Wiener that wrote and directed it. So this was another one that we had been wanting to see it. And for a long time, the only way you could see it was if you had given to their Kickstarter or their Indiegogo.
Yeah.
It was exclusive. Yeah,
send you a Blu-ray.
So they would send you a Blu-ray and a poster and all this other stuff. So it was so it was limited edition, because we wanted to get one. But of course, by the time we found out about it, the Kickstarter or the Indiegogo were over and all of them were gone. So I was really bummed out and I couldn't see it. And then a couple of days ago, I was checking Shudder for new stuff, as I do every couple of days. And lo and behold, it was.
Yep.
They got it on Shudder. So I was super happy.
Yeah, we were fucking jacked about seeing it. I liked it. I thought it was an excellent documentary. My only complaint was that it's too fucking long.
It needed
to be divided up into 3 episodes. But you just start, it's just overload. It starts to become kind of repetitive.
I guess I didn't really find that, because I was so jacked about seeing it. And it's I didn't realize until we were kind of started watching it. And then I was oh my God, this thing is almost 5 hours.
Almost 5 hours.
It's long. 5 hours long.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And I mean, we started it fairly early, in the evening. So it's I just sat there and watched the whole thing, because I don't give a single fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? I really enjoyed it, actually. I didn't get bored, but I love horror movies.
It was an excellent documentary. Like I said, I would re-edit it into a mini series. You know, make it into a 5-part episode, 1 hour each, maybe.
Yeah, like a series. Okay. Like a series. Like they did with like the toys that made us, or something like that.
Exactly. That's how I would do it.
I guess I could see that. And, but I mean, the thing is,
that way you could take it in pieces.
Well, you can watch it like that if you wanted to anyway, because it does have how they put it together, which I kind of liked, was that they just went like year by year. So they started in 1980, and then they just kind of talked about, you know, whatever the trends were in horror movies that year. They talked about, you know, they talked to filmmakers, they talked to actors and stuff like that that were in films. And then they like would highlight a few films that came out that were particularly significant or were particularly. And so it was like really, really well done in that way. And they got interviews with like everybody, man. It's like everybody was on this shit.
Yeah.
Like John Carpenter was on there. Larry Cohen was on there. It's just like everybody was on there.
Yep.
Stuart Gordon. And it's like, although I have to say, I think the MVP of this documentary was Tom motherfucking Atkins. That dude is so funny. And like they interviewed him, I guess, like, because, you know, he was in a shit ton of, you know, John Carpenter films and in a bunch of other ones that they were talking about. So they interviewed him like a bunch of times, or they had snippets of interviews with him like a bunch of times. And he was just, I can't even explain, but it's just
funny.
Every time he was on, I was just like, oh, Tom.
Yeah.
You're the best.
Yeah, it's a good documentary. Like I said, just there's no way you're going to get me to sit for 5 hours and watch anything.
I get that. Like I said, it didn't bother me in the least. Like I had a cocktail. I was just like I said, I can watch horror movies or read horror novels for just hours and hours and hours at a time and be perfectly content.
I'd recommend the average guy take it in pieces.
If you have ADD.
Yeah. It's not ADD. It's just there's other shit going on. You know what I mean? Come on. You know what I mean? 5 hours of talking about horror movies. I could probably handle it about 2 maximum.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd take this in 2 or 3 pieces. It's a good documentary.
It's really well put together. And like I said, they really did get a lot of, you know, a lot of interviews and like a lot of really good clips. And they talked about a shit ton of movies, and not just the real popular ones that you would, you know, they kind of highlighted a few that were kind of lesser known, but were significant in other, you know, respects. Also, I'm really happy that in the 1983 segment, they actually talked about The Hunger, because I feel like that movie kind of gets forgotten about a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I never forgot it. But maybe,
I know,
maybe
but
some younger people might forget.
Well, I feel like when I see horror documentaries, even ones that are about vampire movies, say, or about 80s horror, it seems like it doesn't really get mentioned a whole lot, even though it's a fucking rad ass movie.
They don't talk about cat people much either.
That's true. They did talk about Cat, the remake of Cat People, the one with Malcolm McDowell and Natasha Kinski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I just watched that not too long ago, and I forgot how fun that movie was. It's so sordid.
Yeah.
With all the incest.
Yeah. Well, that was part of it. What was funny is that, you know, for the time was a lot more decadent than people think it was back then. You know, I didn't even think that was all that weird back in the 80s.
I guess I didn't think it was all that weird either. I mean, because the thing about it is that I grew up,
there's a bunch of weird shit going on around.
Well, I grew up reading, you know, watching horror movies and also reading shit like, you know, Flowers in the Attic, like that V.C. Andrews novels, like
a lot of that,
which is all incest, like brother, sister incest. So it's like, it was kind of like, ew, but also wasn't really that big a deal, I guess.
In the mainstream media and mainstream entertainment, there was like incest fetish fucking horror slash porn slash,
I feel like there's still incest porn that's like
slash
a big
movies. There's a lot of movies that were like that.
I mean, isn't incest porn still kind of a big thing nowadays?
I don't know.
I mean, probably. after MILFs,
there's a porn for everything.
I know, but I'm just saying, isn't that like one of the more mainstream ones?
I don't know.
I thought that was my perception anyway, but
it's not my thing. I don't search for it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, when you're watching the porno, it's like, oh, it's incest. Those people aren't really related.
No.
They're just, like, they're pretending.
And I don't know if it was really like, was it like that in the original movie?
No, not that I remember.
It was the only way they could avoid from turning into a damn cat. They were werecats.
The original
movie.
They
weren't even really, I guess you could say, weren't even really humans.
Yeah, they were like
shapeshifters. They were like monsters, shapeshifters.
Like werewolves, except with cats.
Yeah.
The original, now I haven't seen the original, the Val Lewton one from the 40s, like for a long time. It's a good, it's a classic though. But from what I remember, the plot of that one was that it wasn't a brother and sister. It was just her. You know what I mean? And she was like a shapeshifter. So when she got, and then like she met a dude, and but when she got sexually aroused inconveniently, she would turn into a cat and like tear your face off.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, Anne Rice vampire stuff was kind of weird like that too. You know what I mean? She was always into the gay vampire angle, but they weren't gay because they weren't humans. They were vampires and they weren't having sex anyway.
And they were kind of like, they were just like, would jump on anybody. So I feel like it wasn't even.
Yeah, but they didn't have sex, remember?
Right.
They were just, that was just part of it. But it was her fetish porn, really, is what she was writing for herself.
Well, yeah, because she also wrote those. I don't know. Did you know that she wrote like a whole other like softcore porn series, like under a different name? Rokalair, something like that. But she had like a pen name, and she wrote like, what the fuck were those books called? Sleeping Beauty kind of. So they were like fairy tales, but they were like dirty.
I think
I only read one of those because I've never really been into like, even when I was a kid, I was never really into like romance kind of shit or like, I like erotica, like in small doses. But I mean, ever since I was a kid, I was just like, give me the scary shit. I like horror. So, but there was that. So I didn't actually know. Cause like I said, I was interested to see how much, I mean, the funding for this fucking documentary was they had a Kickstarter campaign and made almost £100,000 on that shit. And then they moved to Indiegogo and made like £230,000. Yeah. So they made like quite a bit of money on this. But like I said, you know, they had like a limited number of Blu-rays. They had like a whole package. It was really nice that they would send out to you if you were a backer, like over a certain amount. And like I said, I was really bummed that when I found out that we couldn't get one, because we did look it up, but so I'm just really happy that Shudder added it so I can watch it for free.
Yes. Sandra just mentioned, imagine Blue Lagoon. You couldn't make Blue Lagoon today.
You know what? Blue Lagoon even kind of skeeved me out back then, I have to say.
And then wasn't there another one? Wasn't it called Pretty Baby?
Pretty Baby,
That was almost basically like, kiddie porn, like child erotica.
It definitely was that. I mean, Brooke Shields was what, fucking 12?
Yeah.
I think she was 12 in that
movie. And there was like nude scenes in that.
It was messed up. I mean, you know.
It was just the times.
You could get away with it back then.
It was subversive and you could get away with it.
Yeah. I don't know.
People didn't think it through or think anything out, I don't think, back then either.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't think of the implications. They just did things. You know?
That's a good way.
Just make a movie, you know? Put that girl in there.
We'll
She's 13.
Put a 13. Naked 12-year-old
put her in there.
It's fine.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like those Italian directors. You know, cut that monkey's head off on camera.
You know? It's like they didn't really think of the gravity of the whole situation. They were just like, whatever. We're just making
cut the
a
top
movie.
Of that monkey's head off. It'll look great.
Yeah, that's just pretty well.
Like, you know, they were kind of degenerate, you know. They just didn't think about it.
Talking to Ruggero Deodato there about the cannibal holocaust. Let's kill this big giant turtle.
Yeah.
Just
cut that turtle alive. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, we're filming
and
that shit.
They were just, you know.
Real life gore.
Yeah. Degenerates is what they were.
Well, yeah.
I think they were fucking degenerate motherfuckers. They just were in their own little bubble. They didn't think about it. They just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think people were like that. Maybe, you know, maybe all that unleaded gasoline fucking coming out of those damn pipes had a lot to do with it.
It's your lead theory again. Like I said,
my leaded gasoline.
I think that you might be onto something.
I think
there.
So. Because, man, look, I know about mechanics. I can build engines and fucking understand combustion. And if you put lead particles in gasoline and send that through an engine, it might kind of help you seal the valves a little bit. You don't really need that nowadays. Quiet an engine down. Those lead particles come out of the back of that damn tailpipe. Where are they going to go? They're going to blow all around in the damn city and pile up, and they're going to be trapped in kind of urban landscapes.
Everyone's going to breathe lead particles in, and it's going to like eat your brain.
And everybody knows that fucking lead makes you stupid as shit, makes you crazy.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of, I think there was something to that. And then they quietly kind of got rid of leaded gasoline. You notice that?
Yeah.
They just kind of quietly got rid of leaded gasoline. Never made a big deal about it. It was all the pumps had it. And then you go to the gas station and half the pumps had it. And then out of six pumps, eventually there might only be one pump that had it. And then it was gone.
Yeah.
They didn't fucking say anything about it.
Yeah.
It was a conspiracy. Yeah. Conspiracy.
We're just going to put that over there. We're just not going to.
Leaded gasoline away.
Maybe they knew something.
I think they fucking did. And I think that's why there was all that weird Romanesque fucking serial killer, fucking weird fucking child island fucking men running around everywhere.
Yeah, maybe it was making everyone deranged.
Deranging people, I think.
I mean, they're still like crazy motherfuckers nowadays, but right. It's just, I don't
think there were more of them back then.
It doesn't seem the same. You know what I mean?
Look at the crime rates. People talk about how violent it is now. No, man, it was a lot more violent.
The crime rate started, the crime rate actually started really going down a lot in the 90s.
That's about the time that damn leaded gasoline started to fucking disappear.
I mean, there's spikes every now and then.
Late 80s, leaded gasoline was going away.
Yeah.
And when the 90s were around, that was gone.
I think
that's around the time the fucking crime rate started to drop.
Yeah, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think the highest point of number of serial killers, known serial killers, was either 1987 or 1989.
Yeah.
And then after that, in the beginning of the 90s, it just the crime rate fell.
Yeah. And here's something to fucking blow your mind. The Romans ate lead.
Yeah,
they
did.
Drank out of lead pipes. They seasoned their food with lead dust. And their little fucking plates were made out of lead that they ate off of. Expensive plate was lead. Yep. So, and as crazy as those fuckers were, I'm telling you, there's a link there. They're not telling us.
Yeah. Like I said, it might not be the only factor, but it would really shock me if it wasn't a pretty significant factor.
I think the damn fuel companies realized that they might have been liable for some of that shit, and they quietly got rid of all that. And that's how they got rid of they avoided a bunch of lawsuits. Of course, because the elites, the richest people in the fucking society, were doing that. Putting lead in the gasoline.
Yeah.
Because that just sounds like a fucking good idea, doesn't it?
Yeah. Leslie Russell said Psycho ended the gothic monsters era and started the slasher genre. Yes, it did. Also, another movie that I feel like doesn't get the same amount of attention as Psycho is Peeping Tom, which came out the same year as Psycho. It was a British movie. And the weird thing about it is that it was one of the first, it was very much like a slasher in the sense that the guy was a serial killer and he had he was like a photographer and he would stab the women with this spike thing that he had on the camera so he could not only take a picture of them as they were dying, but also he had a mirror on there so they could watch themselves being murdered.
What was
because he
this?
Got off. It's called Peeping Tom.
Okay.
And it came out in 1960. And I feel like it doesn't get mentioned in the same breath as Psycho, even though it came out in the same year. And it was also really influential, in the slasher genre. Yeah. And it actually, the director, I can't remember what his name is at the moment. I know what it is, but I can't think of it right now. And it ruined his career.
Yeah.
Because nobody made movies like that in 1960. I mean, that was super ahead of the curve. Yeah. And it came out and everyone was just horrified. Because it was it was because it was from, it's much like Psycho is, it's almost made you sympathize with the killer.
Right.
And some people just could not handle that shit. You know, they didn't want them to seem they didn't want you to have to feel sorry for a monster or relate to a monster or, you know, just even follow him.
The Hays Code or Hags Code, what was it called?
It's Hays.
Hays Code actually said you couldn't do that. You couldn't. Yeah. That all evildoers had to be punished in movies.
Yeah, there was that for a long time. Yeah. I don't even remember when the Hays Code was lifted. Right. It must have been before Psycho came out, though, I would think. Yeah. Wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Before all that.
But yeah, because if you were a bad guy, you had to
be killed or
arrested at the end. You couldn't just not get away with it.
You're right.
Which is funny to me. It's because in real life, that shit happens all the time. But
well, it made sense because Hollywood was under investigation for a bunch of anti-American stuff.
Michael Powell, thank you.
Yeah.
I knew if I couldn't think of it.
If you guys want to fucking find something interesting, man, there have been movies, I don't know if they've been disappeared or not, but they were kind of like the history of Hollywood. Who started all the studios in the early 1900s, what their political alignment was. There was a lot of them were Marxist and were kind of supporting the Bolshevik revolutions in Russia at that time. They started to getting scrutinized for anti-American activity, and they were doing stuff that caused the government to pass the Hays Code. And then when World War II happened, the Hollywood kind of joined the army in a certain way. They became part of the military industrial complex to help them with the war effort. And that's really kind of when Hollywood kind of formed an alliance with the government. And it was a government propaganda mouthpiece all throughout the World War II era. And then after World War II was over, it was Hollywood's job was to reintegrate and reincorporate all these damn fucking battle-hardened veterans into society. So they had all these rules. You know what I mean? They were trying to get these guys coming back from war to become civilized again. And they were pumping up American, traditional American values about family life and living in the suburbs. And and it was, you know, Darren and Samantha and fucking Bewitched. And, you know, and they were doing
Leave
all that.
Leave it to Beaver, you know.
Leave it to Beaver. That was all government propaganda. Most people wanted to live like that, but a lot of people couldn't live like that. But the country was becoming more suburban. And eventually that shit got stale back in the 60s and the 70s and really didn't. 60s movies didn't, most of them didn't look like the 1960s. That was in La La Land. And it started to fucking wither and die. It wasn't until the 80s there was a rebirth with all the damn guys that you know today, you know, Lucas and Spielberg and all that. And they kind of revived Hollywood. Now those guys are dying off. Hollywood in the way that we know it won't survive. Not all this pandemic and all this shit. And it's technologically obsolete. It lasted for about 100 years. That's about how long it's going to last. It's going to all be independent films from here on out, foreign films. And Hollywood as you know it or as we knew it is gone anyway. It's not there. It's spread out over the all over the United States. I don't even think really the studios exist anymore physically, do they?
Some of them do, yeah.
Some of them do, yeah. But they're not in Hollywood. I think they're in other states, aren't they?
No.
They're still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Because I know they mostly don't film there anymore. I heard it was mostly a tourist attraction.
Yeah, a lot of the movies aren't shot there. Right. They shoot a lot of movies in Toronto. They shoot, I mean, especially because if they're like a big city.
The cost.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. So, and I just don't think it... Television really put a hurting on it, and now internet, and there'll be movies, but not as you know them, I don't think.
Well, like you said, it's more independent, which, like I said, it's fine. Yeah. And Xanada says Atlanta is big for filming movies. So, yeah, they film a lot of stuff in Georgia nowadays, too, TV and movies.
But what I was trying to say is that that's not Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood is in California. It's a little fucking town. That's gone. They're not filming there.
Yeah.
You know, they're... And so it's been busted up. And, you know, I think Disney probably soon. Evidently, Disney's going through huge layoffs. They lost their asses on Star Wars and their fucking streaming service. And now they're not making any money through Disney World and Disneyland. Disney's going to go into a shell for a while. I bet you Disney's going to be on life support for the next 5 years. That's my example. That's what I'm predicting. But we'll see.
Yeah, Oracle said Psycho was actually, you know, made in 1960, but the Hays Code didn't end until 8 years later, 1968. Okay. So shit, man, how the fuck they get around that? Because they even showed a toilet. Well, they even showed a toilet in Psycho, and they weren't technically allowed to do that. That was like the first one to do it. Another thing I wanted to comment on too was somebody said about John Carpenter, kind of not ripping off, but being influenced by Psycho, you know, for the slasher genre. I also wanted to mention too that one of the first slasher movies, yes, Black Christmas from 1974, but there was an earlier one than that. It was Italian and it was called Bay of Blood. That one had, or Twitch of the Death Nerve, was Mario Bava. And it is, I saw it not too long ago because I'd been hearing about how it was like one of the, like the proto slasher. And I could not believe how slasher like it was, and I think that was from 1968 or 1969. Had the killer POV, like, you know, the naked people in the lake, like getting murdered and stuff like that. The only thing that was not slasher like was who the killer ended up being, but other than that, it had very, very similar. So I almost feel like the slasher movies of the 80s were more influenced by the Italian movies, like giallo movies, than maybe they even were by Hitchcock. Maybe a combination of the two things,
because
I guess.
In the early 80s, they were playing those Italian slasher films on Cinemax and HBO.
Yeah.
So everybody was seeing them. And there was a good response. And that's the way you really wanted to go. But getting back to the fucking whole Hollywood angle, there were really only two real good eras of this whole thing. And that was the golden era, which is what, the 30s, right?
Yeah.
And then the 80s. So the rest of those eras weren't all that good. And that's really what this documentary was about. It kind of points out how good the 80s were for film. They're real good.
Well, because it was kind of like the same in music, too. Like, a lot of the kind of wheels came off and kind of you could do anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and one of the things that they were talking about in the documentary was that the 80s was kind of like the age, particularly in the horror genre, was like the age of like the special effects people as yeah. like rock stars.
Yeah.
And like, because people wanted to see the movies just to see like what the gore effects were going to be, what the special effects were going to be like. And so that was kind of cool too, because I've always really been into like Tom Savini and all that other kind of
that whole decade,
special effects stuff.
That whole decade, not only for horror, but for sci-fi. And then the crossovers between horror, sci-fi, with and action. Shit was fucking awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah.
That was the second golden age. Now, it did kind of go into the 90s, but it wasn't as good, if you ask me.
The 90s, I kind of like honestly, the 70s and the 80s, I feel like were like the golden era, particularly in horror and sci-fi.
Yeah.
Once it went into the 90s, it got a little too slick for me.
Yeah.
Particularly like horror movies, because it kind of went into a thing where everyone, it was like the 90210 of horror.
Yeah.
And it's like, it really, nothing was like gritty or.
Some of the shit was good.
Some of it was. I'm not saying that. It's like, there's no decade that's like a complete and total loss. There's always good.
There's
shit.
Always a few good things here and then. It's just that the 80s, everything was fucking real natural and creative. Like, look, here's a good example. Okay. I'm going to go back to Predator 1, all right? Nowadays, these fucking Hollywood losers are constantly going on about fucking, well, we're going to have this kind of representation, and we have to have a diverse cast, and we have to have fucking this for a woman, the female. It's just so artificial. When you looked at fucking Predator 1, that was a diverse cast. Every one of them guys was pretty much a different race, and there was women soldiers in it too. But it happened so naturally, you didn't realize it. It just seemed like a normal story, because that's the way military situations looked. If they were to do that now, it would look fake as shit. It's because they try hard too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Hollywood directors, you don't really know what I'm talking about, I guess, right? Like, it's to me in some.
I know what you're talking about, but it's like
it looks
not
so fucking fake and artificial today.
I don't know. I guess it just doesn't occur to me. I just watched the fucking movie, you know?
It just looks fucking fake, the way everything is. Like, the superhero movies, and it's, like, very forced. It doesn't seem natural. They did everything that Hollywood tries to be today, they did naturally back in the 80s. You know what I'm talking about?
To an extent.
I think it was just natural.
To an extent.
That's just my opinion. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. That's how, that's the tone of those movies. It just seemed very analog and very naturalistic, everything that they did. Today, the shit they do just seems forced, fake, and fucking political. You know, it's like it's a political agenda. But it wasn't back then.
Yeah, Mango Badger said the remake of The Blob from 1988 is great and better than the original. I actually happen to agree with you on that. And they do actually talk about that on In Search of Darkness as well, a little bit. Like I said, because it's so, you know, they talk about so many movies, they don't go like super, super in depth into any one, but they do cover like a lot of ground. And The Blob was definitely one that they talked about. And I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember really, really, because it's how fucking gross it is. And the special effects, especially like the one person that gets like sucked into the sink drain or whatever. And then like the one that's like, you know, that the blob just gets and they're all like fucking torn apart like that. I mean, it looks fantastic. It still looks fantastic. And I always said that, you know, if you did good special effects back in the 80s, like watch The fucking Thing, watch An American Werewolf in London, watch anything like that, that shit still looks good.
Yeah.
Because they knew what they were doing and it was real. It was really there. Whereas if you use CGI, it's going to date in a few years. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that it won't look good at some point in the future, like it'll get so good that you won't be able to tell the difference, but they're not at that point yet. I mean, yeah, it looks good and sometimes you can't tell, but it still looks a little bit off. It's still a little uncanny valley.
Yeah, DJ Maniac saying that the thing had a diverse cast too, but not as diverse as the Predator. Yeah, the fucking, the whole cast of the thing was awesome. It was all dudes, which that checks out for that era, you know, some on Antarctica, it would all be dudes in that fucking thing. But they were all different. They're all different personalities. So it was a great cast. And then Sandra says, same thing was in Alien. It was all the characters were very natural. Yeah. And then the Alien cast where they were all those crew members on the script that were written to be either sex. It didn't matter. They were kind of unisex. And they just cast people to fit them. And it just did a great job.
Probably like a good thing to do just in general, I guess.
Yeah. It was just a kind of a futuristic cast, you know, and it was just working people.
Because women are always cold. why they wouldn't be any women in the fucking Arctic.
No, because back in those days, those were joking. That
we're
was the joking. Military. Yeah. In Antarctica would have been military weather stations.
Yeah.
And we're just joking, though. They would have been. Back then, the service was gendered. Let's see.
And it's funny because actually I was cold today in this room, and hence why I put long sleeves on.
Ventura, okay, now asking a question. Ventura, did he act as a military advisor? Probably not for the Predator, because every one of those guys was military. People forget that even Arnold Schwarzenegger was a tanker from the Austrian Army. The other two guys were Vietnam veterans. Jesse Ventura was a SEAL, but he was I think a reservist. I don't think he ever went active. Somebody might correct me on that, but, maybe Sonny, I think Sonny might've been a veteran too, but all those guys were military if memory serves.
Thomas Carlyle said the '80s were good for monster horror films. The '70s was like existential horror. I agree. I really liked a lot of the weird, like, haunted house or paranormal type horror that came out of the '70s. But I mean, '80s was great for monster movies, for horror comedies, for slashers, for gore, all that kind of shit. But as far as, like I said, I like, you know, creepy supernatural ghost story, haunted house kind of stuff. That's kind of my favorite subgenre. I love gore films too, but so maybe I would kind of maybe have to give the edge to the '70s, but it's like that it's, I don't know. It's hard to pick because so much good shit came out in the early 80s, too. Because it was like a spillover.
Conor Vatslan, he didn't know that Arnold was a tanker. Yeah, Arnold was he was an Austrian tanker. I don't know if they were panzer divisions. Probably not. But tankers. He was a tanker. Driver, I believe.
Yeah.
He told all kinds of stories about fucking up, wrecking tanks, but fucking head guys telling stories. He told some stories about what he did with tanks. He did get in a little bit of trouble because, you know, he ran from the army to go do a bodybuilding competition. They wouldn't let him go, but he went anyway. He came back though. They didn't do anything to him, but you know, pretty big for a tanker.
Maybe it was a pretty big tank.
Yeah. The hatches are kind of small. I know what I'm talking about.
I know what a tank hatch looks like.
Yeah.
Oracle says the little girl who lives down the lane. I have been wanting to actually review that on the show because I really, really, really like that movie. And I saw it a bunch of times like years and years ago. And I have it on the list, but I haven't. It keeps getting kind of pushed. I have so many movies on the list, you guys. You don't even know. But that's definitely one of the ones that's on there. I don't. Have you ever seen it? Was Jodie Foster when she was a kid?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's good. It's creepy, but yeah,
there's another one that did kinky shit when she was a kid. Didn't she play some fucking weird roles, Jodie Foster?
Well, she was in Taxi Driver.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing when she was a kid,
like an underage
prostitute.
Yeah, but I don't think there was any nude.
Not that I remember. I haven't seen Taxi Driver in a while.
It was just Brooke Shields. Yeah, Brooke Shields' mom pimping her out.
Yeah, there was some messed up
weird
stuff
shit back in those days.
I need to I remember like reading something about it like a long time ago, but yeah, I think she had one of those weird showbiz moms. Like,
yeah. Hollywood is run by pedocrats.
Creepy.
Yeah.
It's just fucking creepy. I know. All right. But yeah. So like I said, if you're into 80s horror, you got to see this shit. No, you don't have to sit there and watch the whole 5 hours at once like I did. But that's the thing. You can choose. You can just watch a little bit at a time and then go do something else and then come back and watch it later. Or you can just say, fuck it, and do what I did. Get a cocktail and sit there and watch all fucking 5 hours and enjoy it immensely. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's how you do. But yeah, it's on Shudder. Like I said, get Shudder if you don't have it. It's super good. They also just added another brand new movie, which we'll probably be talking about tomorrow because I think I'm going to watch it tonight and see how it is. It looks like it's gotten pretty.
What's it called?
It's called Host.
Okay.
Nothing to do with like the Korean one about the monster. This is like a totally different. It looks like one of those online like over Skype horror movies or over. It looks like that, but I'm not really sure. But it looks like it's gotten like decent reviews.
Okay.
So we'll see how it shakes out. I think I'll watch that later tonight and see. And also we might watch the movie that we're doing a retrospective on, but I'm not gonna tell you what it is. Although if you're a patron, you already know because I posted it on Patreon yesterday. But I'm very excited about it because I've been wanting to do this one for a while. And I guess that'll do it for our Sunday matinee.
Yeah, we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah, we'll live stream again tomorrow, probably about the same time, about 3 PM Eastern Standard Time. So until tomorrow, thank you guys for stopping by. Bye.